God's good all the time. Thank God he's good. Sister Betty is not here again this morning. She apologizes, but she's still tormenting infirmity in her body, as I am. We're punishing it, holding it hostage and punishing it. Continue to pray for her. Sometimes, I know if you haven't been out of the country and other places, you don't understand, but sometimes when you're going into other regions, other areas, you actually have to build up immunities, and sometimes that's a process, and so that's kind of what we've been doing with this situation is conquering it a piece at a time. This silly thing has went through our bodies from one end to the other and back. We're just thanking God for strength and healing and bringing us through. We just keep conquering every stage of it. But Sister Betty was going to be here this morning. She was going to try to come, and she began to throw up before church, and so that's not a good thing if you're going to be sitting on the front pew. Anyway, thank God for his goodness. Praise God, and his love and mercy and his healing power. Yesterday, Sister Betty Salisbury, she's got some kind of poison oak or something. They don't, Schumach or whatever it is. Anyway, it covered her entire body. And then yesterday, her esophagus began to close off. And so she started having trouble breathing. Her feet and her hands started tingling, going numb, started getting dizzy and struggling to breathe. So in a roundabout way, Mike Matney called me. I was here at the church and said, go check on Betty. She's having a hard time breathing. And we told her she needs to get to the hospital. I run out the back door just in time to see Betty's car go down 65 highway. I feel like whipping her. She got in her car and drove herself to the hospital, dizzy and stuff. And we jumped in the car and followed her down there. Anyway, when we got down there, they was checking her in the emergency room. And we prayed for her right there as they were checking. I know many of you were praying. And we just laid hands on her, prayed for her right there at where they was checking her in. As soon as we prayed for her, her esophagus opened up, and she started being able to breathe, and thank God for that. And by the time they checked her, her blood ox level was back up to 98, and so thank God. And, it's awesome to see just the presence of God. It was really awesome for Sister Betty because, you know, not being able to breathe is a problem. It's not good. Thank God for that. And the swelling is what she was all swelled up yesterday, everywhere this stuff, but she was just swelled up. And today the swellings went down, so praise God for that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 9. This is the verse that we established everything on, the healing river. I want to read this morning and talk about it a little bit. It said, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the rivers go. There's more good stuff there, but I want to stop right there. When God, in this verse, is talking about a progressively growing river of God. It's not a natural river, it's a river of God. And it comes out of the throne under the right side where Jesus sits, and it continues to get deeper and deeper and deeper. We are living in the day, and then it gets to the point where there's waters to swim in. It's like flood waters. And we're living in that day right now. There are flood waters of the presence of God everywhere. When God spoke to us about this verse several years ago, it was talking about where the rivers go, the waters will be healed. And as you know, we've tried to understand all that there is to understand about that. But God continues to teach us and continues to help us to understand. The Lord was talking to me over in Africa one day after I realized that More than planting churches and all the awesome stuff that's been happening, I realized that the atmosphere is being healed. been transformed. We didn't even realize that we played a part in that, and the atmosphere of the country, the atmosphere of ministry, is starting to change and transform, and the waters are being healed. And the Lord spoke to me about that, and he said, see, that's what I'm talking about. He said, where the rivers go, the waters are healed, and everything that moves will live. And he said, I heal the waters. I don't just, it's not just about the things that move, they will live, but he said, I heal the waters. The waters is the atmosphere. The waters is the presence. What is it that they live in? You know, fish live in water. It says the waters will be healed. In other words, the atmosphere they live in will be restored and will be healed. It's not enough just to believe that God, you know, is off somewhere, that he exists. We've got to understand that he wants to exist now with us right now, and he wants to transform the atmosphere of our lives. He wants to transform the atmosphere we live in. Amen. And you see that whenever you go places that have been oppressed, and you see the power of the gospel changing lives, it doesn't just change those people's lives, it literally transforms the area. Everything changes. Crops start producing better. People's lives increase. Their income increases. Everything about life begins to change where the gospel becomes powerful. And where there's an influence of the power of God, everything starts changing. And we've got to understand that there is influence that literally changes the atmosphere. Amen. We are not thermometers, we are thermostats. We change atmosphere. Amen. Too often we just simply reflect the atmosphere that we're around. But you've got to do more than you can't just reflect the atmosphere you're around. You've got to change the atmosphere. How do you do that? Well, the presence of God. If you're walking in the presence of God, as soon as you walk in somewhere, the atmosphere begins to change. It begins to transform. You have impact wherever you go. And so he said, wherever the rivers go, the waters will be healed. Praise God. The waters will be healed. You know, I realize in this country we got some problem with the waters. How many know we got some problem with the water? The atmosphere that we live in seems to be getting contaminated. It seems to be and you see the power of influence. You know, you see the power of that. And influence begins to change atmosphere. And so the only way to change that atmosphere back is by influence. One of the things that the church has to understand is that we can't hide in our cavernous churches and change the atmosphere. We change the atmosphere around us every day. Wherever the rivers go, the waters will be healed. Amen. You've got to learn not to be affected by the atmosphere. I'm going to say that again. You got to learn not to be affected by the atmosphere. If there's one thing I've learned in the last several years, it's that wherever I go, I cannot allow the atmosphere I'm in to determine my actions. My actions determine the atmosphere. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. My actions determine the atmosphere. I've been around people that are so super sensitive that if they feel, you know, demonic presence, it just controls them. You know, they can't function. They can't, you know, they go into cities and they say, oh, I was so miserable, I couldn't sleep, all this kind of, there was so much demonic oppression. I sleep like a baby. You know why? Because I'm not there to monitor the atmosphere. I'm there to change the atmosphere. And if the atmosphere tries to change me, it's got some problems. You can't allow that stuff to get to you. You've got to go in with you got to maintain a right spirit and a right attitude. We have experienced that on many times. You know, some of the areas that we went into in Africa this time, a lot of the ones that was needing prayer, we gave altar calls for people that needed deliverance, that was being tormented. And we had so many come up, especially in this one area, in this one village and the area around about it, and all of them had, or not all of them, but a lot of them had the same thing. They said, something chokes us in the night. When we're asleep, we wake up and something is choking us. And that was, you know, that was a common thing in that area. And that's a demonic presence that tries to torment people in their sleep. And there were several of them that was talking about that. And we prayed for them. And, you know, I would think, well, that's crazy. But me and Betty have experienced that. And I don't talk about it because you don't want to give glory and honor to the devil because, you know, he lost anyway. But there was one night that me and Sister Betty both, in the middle of the night, couldn't breathe. It's like somebody was suffocating us. Like somebody was suffocating us. And we had to power through that. We had to come against that in the name of, I couldn't talk. Neither one of us could talk because we couldn't breathe. In my spirit, I was declaring that I am the child of God and you cannot touch me. No weapon formed against me can prosper. You're gone in Jesus' name. You're not going to do this. It lifted, and we went back to sleep and slept the rest of the night, and that was the last time that happened. But it was an oppressive spirit that was trying to scare us, that was trying to change our atmosphere. That was trying to change our atmosphere from faith to fear. Oh no, I don't want to go to sleep tonight. He might come back. Well, we're going to slap him in the head. Kind of like Lester Summerall. Lester Summerall was ministering in this one village. This powerful witch doctor came against him. And he commanded the demon spirits to come out of the man, and the man was delivered. The little place that Lester Summerall was sleeping, this little bed, and just had curtains over the windows. There was nothing in the windows, just a curtain. And in the middle of the night, he said all of a sudden that curtain stood straight out, and just a wind started blowing through that window. And he said his bed started dancing on the floor and vibrated and danced all the way clear across the room. And he said, he stood up and said, devil, I cast you out once tonight, and I'll do it again. Now get out of here. He said his bed stopped dancing, and the wind reversed, and the curtains went out the other way. And then he stopped and he said, get back in here. Curtains reversed, come back in. He said, when I went to sleep, my bed was over there. Put it back. He said his bed started dancing, vibrating back over to where it was. Spirit left, and it was over with. See, a lot of people would freak out. It's like, oh no, there's a demon. Well, if you understand your position, you understand that they are under you. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're not under them, they are under you. Physically, you're under their authority. But when you're born again, when you're full of the Spirit, you're seated in heavenly places and you have dominion and authority. And so when you understand that, you realize that you're not there to be affected by the atmosphere. You are there to affect the atmosphere. Wherever the rivers go, the waters will be healed. The waters that we swim in will be healed. You know, we freak out about stuff. But we got to just keep preaching the gospel. We got to keep standing up for what's right and just influencing with the power of Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater than somebody being touched by the power of God to take their argument away from them. A lot of people got an argument. You know, they got this debate. They want to debate about stuff. Well, if they can't move you, and if you end up touching their life with the presence of God, the argument's over with. It's done. Amen. This bathroom thing, it's the it's the most horrendous, hilarious, laughingstock thing that could ever happen in this country. And most of us are up in arms about that. I mean, and rightfully so. If I see a guy going in the bathroom when my wife's in there, he's not going to go in there. I just got to tell you. Things are going to stop. You understand what I'm talking about? But we've been in places. Now, I got to help you understand something. If you allow the atmosphere to invade your life, it's won. In other words, it turns you into it. You can't allow atmosphere to change you. You've got to maintain. In Amsterdam, places we fly into, there's all kinds of different atmospheres and cultures and stuff. If you go with me to Africa and we fly into Amsterdam, some of you guys are probably going to freak out because there are women in the men's bathroom all the time in Amsterdam. They clean, they straighten up, and I've never been in a bathroom in the airport in Amsterdam that there's not women in there. And to them, it's just everyday life. That's their job. You can be standing there, you know, take care of business, and lady will come up and start cleaning the wall right beside you. And you're just standing there, and it's like, how you doing? Yeah. Having a good day? That just happens. That's their atmosphere. That's their way. And it's normal everyday life to them. Of course, there's no men in the women's bathroom. Betty has never seen a man in there cleaning the women's bathroom. You understand what I'm talking about? You know, even in that culture, that's not acceptable. But they don't have the same standard. If you let stuff like that freak you out and change you and back you in a corner, then our influence has just been abolished. You understand what I'm talking about? We cannot allow ourselves to be changed by what's going on around us. We've got to change what's going on around us because of our influence. Amen. Where you work at, don't get into arguments with people about who should go in a bathroom. Minister to them. Meet their needs. Touch them with the presence of God. Everything changes when somebody gets touched by God. Their argument goes away. You understand what I'm talking about? I mean, I'm getting into some really touchy area here. I realize that. When we realize that the enemy is trying to transform our atmosphere. But guess what? There are millions of God-loving people in this nation. Millions. All over this world, I've heard people say, you know, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. No, there's a whole lot more than eight people that are righteous in this world. Whatever nation you go into, there are millions of righteous people all over this world. It is not like it was in the days of Noah. It is not like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We might be facing some of the same issues, but there are millions of Abrahams. There are millions of Noahs all over the world. Everywhere I've been, there are millions of righteous people, and it's not the same. Everybody say it with me. It's not the same. If you listen to some people, they will convince you that the devil has won and all we can do is hide in our caves and get our survival gear together and hope that Jesus comes before. Hey, listen, the people in China didn't get rescued before all their problems. They love God. Jesus coming back is not a rescue mission. Jesus coming back is a celebration of a spotless bride being presented to the groom, and there is a coronation day. It is not a rescue mission. It is a celebration. And right now, there are millions of people around this world that are celebrating the power of Jesus Christ and are coming to God. whether it's Islamic countries or Buddhist countries or Hindu countries or agnostic countries or whatever you might want to call it, in that place, there are millions of people that are worshiping and serving God. We've got to understand that we are still changing the atmosphere of this world. No matter what happens, we are still influencing. And as long as we're here, things are going to be different. I had no idea I was going to preach on this. But we are the ones that are holding that back. You understand what I'm talking about? We're the ones that is holding that tide back. The waters are conflicting. But the Bible says where the river goes, the waters are healed and everything that moves in them will live. Will be healed and live. Praise God. It's not until you go into the quagmire and cesspool of oppression and see people come alive that you really understand what we're talking about here. When you see people all of a sudden begin to celebrate that they have given their life to Jesus and they have hope now, they have been changed, they've been transformed. When you see that, just like we should be seeing that here in this area, and we're going to, because the water level's coming up. Hallelujah. The water level's coming up. Matter of fact, one of the reasons, when I was over in Africa, one day, the Lord talks to me about things in the strangest times. I was over there, and he started talking to him about here. I was like, okay, I need to be focused here, you know, where I'm at. But he said, when I was over there, he talked to me about something that I have ran from my whole life and ministry. I try to stay completely away from it. Don't want anything to do with it. When I was over in Africa, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to start making videos and put it on the internet. I said, God, we've tried to stay away from that, remember? And he said, I want you to start doing teaching videos and start putting them on your website, and I want you to increase it and increase it, and I want you to start bringing people on and having testimonies about the good things of God, and I want you to start dealing with current issues, talking about wisdom in our current life, how to operate in wisdom and knowledge and understanding in the day we live in. And he said, I want you to do this. And at first, my heart just sunk. It's like, no, I don't like that world. But then the Holy Spirit just dropped it inside of me. And when I got back, I couldn't wait to get. I about drove Mike Matney crazy. Because I started doing 5-minute broadcasts on my iPad, just sitting it up there and doing broadcasts. And at first I thought, oh, this is just going to be misery. But it was not. I mean, it just, all of a sudden, it just began. It was just easy. And it's awesome. And I said, okay, we're going to do this thing. Well, now, I can't wait. You know, it's like, okay, I need to get back to my office and do another broadcast. Why? Because when God changes something in you, what he's saying is, I want to change the atmosphere. Besides that, if you want to talk to anybody, you got to go online. Even if you're in the same place with them, it's easier to talk to them if you go online. My mind's going several different directions all at the same time, and I'm disciplining myself. But where the river goes, the waters will be healed. Amen. And God says, I want you to start talking to people where they're at. And I said, oh, yeah, this ain't a conversation. But it is. It will be. Praise God. So we're going to do that. How many say, oh, let's do that? Praise God. Thank you. 5 of you. I feel the glory. When we understand the flowing of the river, we understand that it's not just about faith. In the book of James, it says that what does a prophet, in James chapter 2 and verse 14, what does a prophet, my brethren? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and no one says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, this is talking about the fact that if you've got faith, there are actions attached to faith. Faith does not just operate by itself. Faith can only be evident if there's something produced by faith. If there's nothing produced by faith, it's not faith. That's what James is trying to get across to us. If we understand faith, then we understand that when faith is active, things happen. Amen. If you believe that God heals, you're going to pray for people. Amen. You're going to be praying the prayer of faith for them. Even when you don't feel good, you're going to pray the prayer of faith. Why? Because you believe God's a healer. And it's not upon your condition, it's on your faith. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes faith is just the fact that you refuse to sit down. You just keep going. You refuse to give in. Oh man, have I been there a lot of times? You simply refuse to give in. And you just keep going by faith. Faith says, no, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to take an easy way out. I'm simply going to hit this head on, and I'm going to keep going, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of how you feel. You don't know what faith is until you're in a strange country getting ready to preach, and something has attacked your body, and all of a sudden your stomach starts churning. You know what I'm talking about. And you need to be running somewhere else besides the pulpit. You don't know what faith is until you stand there getting ready to preach and you lay your hand on your stomach and say, stop it. And you step forward and start preaching. Yeah. That's faith. Because if faith doesn't work, come on, somebody. Yeah. A couple of years ago when we were in Africa, I actually said, God, do not let me be embarrassed in front of these Africans. I mean, that's a fervent, effectual prayer of a desperate man. Come on, somebody. But you can't help. If you do this, if you just travel to different parts of this country, you're going to be affected. Your body is going to be affected. You're going to be affected by different things. And then when you travel to other countries, you're going to be affected. In some way, you're going to be affected. Nothing else, the time zone throwing your body off. And all of a sudden, you're so confused. Your body's confused. Everything about you is confused. And yet, you keep going. You just step forward. Faith says that it doesn't matter what my circumstances are. What matters is what I believe and what the Word of God says, and that's what I'm going to walk on. That's what I'm going to step out on, is what the Word of God says. Amen. Faith says we can handle this. Amen. Faith says we can handle this. It's okay. God's got this. Your brain will be telling you, this is not good. But your faith is saying, hang in there, hold on, it's okay. Which are you going to believe? You're going to believe your feelings, you're going to believe what you're thinking, or are you going to believe your faith? Faith is when you... We got in a car to head for... I know I'm still talking about Africa, I can't help it. We got in a car to head to the eastern province, to the border of Tanzania. And we got in this car. It's a little Toyota. And y'all know me, I don't like tight spaces. But over there, God gives me grace. I don't know how it happens, but God gives me grace. And we get in this little Toyota, getting ready to drive 3.5 to 4 hours. And when I get in, I get my feet stuck underneath the seat, and I'm sitting there, and the front seat is against my knees, and I can't move my feet, I can't move my legs. There's three of us in this back in the back seat of this little Toyota car, plus the stuff we need to take. So we have our suitcases on top of us. We have generators. We have keyboards. We got stuff that we need to take all piled on top of us inside this little Toyota car. And we're sitting there, and we're going to be there for 3.5 hours. And we finally get in there, finally get situated. We go to take off, and I've got enough mechanic experience to know when things aren't right with a vehicle. And we start to take off, and immediately I realize that all the motor mounts are broke on this car. Because every time he'd let off the clutch, the motor would jump up and jump, do like this. Every time he let off, bam, bam. And he worked the clutch like, I wanted to reach up and hit his leg and say, quit that. But he constantly, and that motor, the motor in that little Toyota car was going, bam, 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 just jumping up and down, and it wasn't attached. It was sitting in the frame, and it was just jumping up and down. And then we get moving. I mean, this car is so loaded, the back tires are like this. It's packed completely full. We got the trunk so loaded that we got a piece of string tying the lid down, trying to hold the speakers and everything that's loaded in the trunk of this car. We got it tied down, and this car is sitting on the ground. And we take off, and the motor's jumping up and down. And then when we take off, I realize that the CV joints in the front axles are gone because they're popping. Pop, 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 pop. And I just sit there thinking, Lord Jesus. Last time we did this, we ended up stranded for 3 hours beside the road and had to send somebody to another town and rent another car. And this thing's popping and cracking. And then we start taking off down the road, and I realize that the bearing in the back wheel of the tire underneath me is out because it's grinding. And we're taking off for a 3.5 hour journey where there's not going to be any wrecker service. You know, if you break down, you're just stuck until you can get a bus or something comes by and you get on. And we're getting ready to take off in this, and I'm hearing all this stuff, and I'm thinking this car is literally just going to fall apart right here. We've had them do it. And we take off. And I just praying, God, just get us there. Help us just to get, God, I bless this car in Jesus' name. I mean, I was just praying over this vehicle. Bless this car, God. Woo, hallelujah. And then I was saying, God, bless my legs. They're hurting. We get going. And there's this one section of road out there that's mountainous. It's like Highway 7 in Arkansas. Matter of fact, being in Rwanda is like being in Arkansas, the same mountainous, you know, that area. And we get going, and here the bearing's grinding in this back wheel. The tires are like this on the back end because it's smashed down. The suspension is completely gone. And it's the motor's popping and jumping up and down. The CV joints are popping, and we're just going down the road. We're going to preach Jesus. And we get to that mountainous area, and we start off those mountains. The driver throws it in neutral and just lets it go. I'm actually pretty brave when it comes to stuff like that, and I enjoy adventure. I really do. But I want to tell you something. By the time we got to the bottom, I was battling fear. And I normally don't battle fear. I've been through so many wrecks and accidents. You know, it's just a normal, everyday thing. But we get going down this mountain, and I'm watching him, and he's not got his foot on the brake. This car, the bearings grind, and the car is just shaking and stuff, and he's just sitting up there like this, just driving. And we get going down through there, and I'm watching the speedometer. And I kind of know what the kilometers and the miles per hour are. We get up to 75 mile an hour going down this mountain. The first curve we get to, I'm thinking, okay, he's gonna slow down. He's gonna slow down. I mean, he's just like Highway 7. He's turn back. We get into the curve. He doesn't even start turning the steering wheel when we get in the curve, and I'm going, I am a brave person. Things don't bother me, and I was getting really shook up because he gets into the curve. And there was this little rough area over on the side of the road. Well, he lets the car drift all the way across into the other lane where there's no guardrails going down over here. And he lets it drift all the way over another lane. And then he turns the wheel. And we go, sliding all the way around. We get to the next curve. This guy was the worst driver I've ever seen in my life. Anybody knows you set yourself up for a curve. You get on the brake, you pull into it, and then you release through the curve. He went into the curve without turning the wheel until the last second, and then he would jerk the wheel like this. Well, the back in that car would go, arr! The bearings are out, remember? And we're sliding on these. We went all through those mountains like that. Just sliding back and forth. You know, just back and forth. That's going to sound real good on the podcast. We get to the bottom of the hill, and I am sweating. I'm sitting there just smiling. Betty's looking at me like this. She didn't say a word, but she's looking over at me like this. It's like, we're going to die. And I, you know, trying to be the comforting person, I just looked over at her and went, it's okay. No problem. It was like that the whole trip. I know that faith is the only thing that got us there. That's it. Couldn't have been anything else. We traveled that whole distance. We traveled in this little car. We traveled on back dirt roads where there's ruts this deep. And he would drop off on one of these ruts. The car would bottom out. And he would sit there and rock it, you know, letting off on the clutch. And the motor going, boom, boom, boom. Just jumping up and down the front of this car. And he's rocking this. And we finally jump up over it. And we get through that rut, only to fall into another rut. And here we go, rocking it again, you know. And we travel like that the whole time that we're there. That was our car. And then we traveled in that little car all the way back. The same thing, going through the mountainous area, same thing. Just cut her loose. It's okay, buddy. Just cut it loose. Don't worry about that brake. They don't work anyway. Just let her roll. By this time, we're hardened to it, you know. That's walking by faith. Amen. And the thing is, I'd get right back in that car tomorrow. Wouldn't bother me. My heart would pound. I would probably get tense and stuff, but it's okay. Because we got a purpose. So you understand what I'm talking about? And so we change the atmosphere. We don't mimic that. Faith without works is dead. If we don't move, there is no evidence of faith. In order for there to be evidence of faith, there has to be movement. There has to be something happening. We can talk about our faith all the time. We can talk about this stuff all the time. But until we move, there's no faith. Because faith is only, it only functions, it only works when there's movement and when there's action attached to it. Until then, it's fantasy. You don't prove faith until you act on faith, until you decide to move in faith. James here is not trying to tell us that our works is, you know, for by grace are we saved. We know that. For by grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. some people think that's a contradiction. They don't understand what James is trying to teach here. James is trying to teach a church that's getting lazy that you can't just sit around in the church and talk about your faith. You got to get up and do something. That's what James was dealing with. James was dealing with people that were succumbing to the atmosphere around them, and they wasn't moving forward. They wasn't putting themselves out there to see the demonstration of the power of God. It's like he told Timothy. Timothy was getting scared because of the sufferings of Paul, and Paul told him, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, he's saying, look, that is not the atmosphere. Don't let the atmosphere around you change you, Timothy. What you are is not fear. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. That's not what you are. That's not your atmosphere. That's not your influence. But your influence, who you are, what your atmosphere is power, love, and a sound mind. In other words, he's telling Timothy, you need to stay confident. You need to keep your mind confident in me, in God. And you got to understand that you cannot allow the hate that you live around, the things that people are doing, you can't allow that to change you, because your spirit is a spirit of love, not a spirit of fear and hate. And then you need to understand that you are not helpless. You walk in power. So you have influence, Timothy. Paul was trying to get Timothy to understand, hey, don't let this back you down. Don't let this change who you are. Don't let this take away from you the power and the love and the sound, disciplined mind that you walk in. I put something on Facebook here a while back about not letting the rhetoric of people change who we are, change our actions. Don't let the rhetoric of the unstable destabilize you. And it does. I watch so many people just start getting frayed. You know, they seem to just start coming apart. They get anxiety, and and all this is bad, and all this, you know, and look what Target's doing. Well, don't shop there. You have a choice. Did you know that you can buy it online? Amen. You don't have to go to a store. You can buy it online. They will deliver it to your door. I have found this out lately. I never knew this. But I found out lately that you can buy anything you want online. I still haven't adopted it, but I found this out. You know, I'm the kind of person, I like to go somewhere, plan out my route, go in, shoot it, bag it, and get out of there. You know, I have my route planned. When I go to a store, when I'm pulling in the parking lot, I have it planned out, the route planned out, and I know exactly where I'm going to go, you know, the most efficient way to get what I need to get, and I'm out of there. Woo! We conquered that one. Me and Sister Betty are totally opposites. When she walks into a store, she's not here. When we walk into a store, you know, I'm focused. When she walks into a store, it's like, and I'm going, you know, she knows how to relax. I don't. She knows how to enjoy the moment. Many times I've said, I wish I could learn that. Because she knows how to enjoy the moment. I mean, she's not got an agenda. I've got an agenda. She has no agenda. She's relaxing, pushing the cart. She's enjoying the beautiful colors. She sees nothing. She knows nothing. Because she knows how to just enjoy the moment. Matter of fact, I play pranks on her. I'll tell her, you know, I'll follow around for a little bit, and then, you know, I start crawling out of my skin, because we'll go down this aisle, and then we go all the way over here and go down this aisle, and then we'll go back over here and go down this aisle. And so I'm not enjoying the moment. And so I'll tell her, I say, honey, I'm going to go see if we need something for the car. And I'll go to the automotive, and then I'll sneak back around, and I'll watch her. I'll trail her. And I'll see what aisle she's going to come down. And I'll go down that aisle, and I'll stand there like this, just against the food, and watch her coming. And she'll come down there, looking at stuff. She'll go right by me. Don't even know I'm there. And she'll go right by me. And I'll go to the next aisle. I'll stand there like this. And she'll come down through there, and she'll go right around me. Of course, then I sneak up behind her, because I know that she's totally oblivious by this point. I sneak up behind her, and I grab her like that. And she goes, oh! I mean, ready to fight, you know. I was like, did you see me? She said, no, you snuck up behind me. I said, I've been in every aisle you went down. That's knowing how to enjoy the moment. And in my mind, in my heart, I am trying my best to wonder where I was going with that. Could somebody please tell me? It's a good story, though. Online, thank you. Say you're listening. But see, a lot of us get frayed. We allow this stuff to start taking us apart. We allow this stuff to start dismantling who we are. God has not called us to be full of anxiety. He's not called us to be full of fear. He's not called us to be full of anger. That's one of the reasons that things, you know, I'll just be plain with you. The goal of all this stuff that's going on is to destabilize this country. And somehow, thankfully, this country has not come apart at the seams yet. We have survived protests. We have survived all kinds of stuff. We have survived these insult after insult after insult. And I believe in standing up for things. But listen, when the goal is to destabilize us so that we lose control, then the most powerful thing we can do is stay stable. So God has not called us to come apart at the seams. God has not called us to be overwhelmed. God has called us to walk in faith that has actions and be full of power, love, and a sound mind. These are the things that God has given us. He's not given us any of this other stuff. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. And He's given us the power to influence our surroundings. Amen? There's nothing more powerful than when things change when you show up. I mean, if people quit talking about you as soon as you walk in, don't get insulted. Realize that you have influence. You are influencing. Just smile at them, say, hey, if you need any information, let me know. I'll give you some. We let this stuff tear us apart when God has called us to be the river that goes there, that changes the atmosphere, changes our surroundings, changes who we are. Praise God. I love it when I see atmospheres change. Oh, hallelujah. I love it when I see atmospheres change, when I see the gospel changing an area. Listen, every time the gospel goes into an area, in especially in third world countries, you immediately begin to see the village and the area changing. For the first church we planted over in Rwanda was out in this village, and we had to walk a long way to get there. We drove a car as far as we could drive. And the road turned into this goat path, or just brush. And we finally had to stop driving the car and get out and walk on this little path. And we walked and we walked and we walked. We walked through several villages until we finally got to this one village. And that's where our church was. And so in the village, we walk in and we've got this little church planted there. And it's nothing but sticks sticking up in the air. There's no roof on it. just sticks. That's how they build things. They cut small trees down, and that's what they build out of. And banana leaves, and then they weave banana leaves through the sticks, and then they cover that with mud. And that's a building. And so we get there, and some of it is covered in mud, you know, up a little ways. There's no roof on, just sticks. I've got a picture of me standing in that deal with the congregation. The place was full. I mean, there wasn't any walls really, but they were sitting on the ground. They were all inside, and it was full. And I've got a picture of me standing there, telling them that I'm going to put a roof on this church, that we're going to finish this church. And at the time, I actually didn't even have the money to do it, because I had money that was purposed for something else. But when I got there, I thought, man, we got to change this. We got to change this. And so I sent some emails out, and we were supposed to do something else. And I emailed Bishop Rogers, and I said, hey, man, I said, can we change this? I said, we'll make up the difference later. But I said, we gotta finish this church. We gotta put a roof on it, and we gotta finish it. And he said, yeah, go ahead. And so I told them, I said, look, we're gonna buy the, they call it metal sheets. We're gonna buy the metal sheets, and we're gonna finish this church. And of course they celebrated, and they danced and sung and celebrated. And then we preached, gave an altar call. There was a bunch of people saved. They gave their life to Jesus. And now when you go back to that village, the roads, they have roads that go straight into that village. You don't have to walk anymore. They got roads that go straight in. They're dirt roads, but they got roads that go straight into the village. Now there's this nice church sitting there, nice for that area. And they keep having to expand it. And not only do they have a nice church there, there's houses built all around it, which there wasn't at that time. And not only that, we have another building, a cement building, sitting beside that church. And it's the vision that I cast to them when I was there. And I told them, I said, look, you need to start training people with skills. You need to start teaching people how to make an income. And so now we have a cement building there beside the church that has 5 sewing machines in it, the old pump, you know, pedal sewing machines, and they are teaching people how to make clothing and to sell the clothing. And the whole atmosphere of that area, the whole atmosphere of that village, everything has changed. Not the same. Why? Because the river went there and the atmosphere changed. It's not about just changing a couple people. It's about changing the influence and the atmosphere. All right? Praise God. I didn't pay attention when I started, so I, as far as I'm concerned, I preached 15 minutes. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, that's what I believe. I got faith. Faith without works is dead works. It's dead. It's dead faith. And so we have to realize that in order to have faith, we have to move. There has to be action to our faith. Sometimes that faith is just simply to make yourself get up and go. Just make yourself get up and move. You might not feel like it. Everything might be against you, but you just get up and move. And you get up and start. Many times, nothing happens until you put down some footprints. You can sit there and believe all you want to, but until you make some footprints in the dirt, nothing's going to happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got an email 2 days ago that said the floor in that house where the people were dancing and worshiping on them sharp rocks and stuff, no floor. And I got an email the other day that said the floor is finished. And the church is excited. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The river, where the river goes, stand with me if you would. I'm going to have to start paying attention. Timing myself. I'm starting to get like, in my older age, I'm starting to get like Daryl Friend was. He said, I can preach till midnight and talk till morning. That's kind of how it gets. Thank you for not amening. Where the river goes. How many want to be part of the river? You want to be part of that river that changes atmosphere, that changes how things are? Well, tomorrow when you go to your job, you need to realize the river is going to your job. Wherever you go, that's where the river is going, and your influence is there. You might think, well, I don't influence anybody. I'll guarantee you, you influence. Everybody has a circle of influence. Everybody has a certain amount of people around them that you influence. And one of the greatest ways to be an influence is to not allow what's around you to dictate what you do, to dictate who you are, what you act like. What's around you is not you. Okay? You change that. You make it move.